outside of your race.
I point out to you that Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, sent them out. The lost sheep of the house of Israel sent them out to the Adamic race. And therefore he said, I send you out. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel to all the kinsmen, baptizing them in the name of Yahweh and of his messianic fulfillment, which ye have be witnessed by the authority of the Holy Spirit. The original text makes it very clear. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto all the kinsmen. If you go into the lexicon of the early text, you'll see that there never was an instruction by Jesus to his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and then baptize them in a Babylonian Trinitarian concept. Never said that at all. In fact, when you go in the lexicon, you'll see that the word is kinsmen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto all the kinsmen. You are the kinsmen. The Holy Spirit didn't tell one thing through the lips of Jesus and then express his mind in another way when he spoke to the Apostle Paul. He sent Paul out to preach, but he said, I forbid you to go to Asia. So you see, that part of the world wasn't for the ministry of the Apostle Paul during his span. You see, this is the significant thing. We today have the church preaching the gospel unto all kinds of people, and they're preaching the same gospel, and they're not identifying the message which God gave them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto all the kinsmen. Now, you might be able, by a mission of the gospel and under some process, to baptize a person into the organization of the church, but you can't make a son out of somebody that was not first begotten of the Father. I point out, therefore, that it is not a decision upon the part of the individual that determines whether he is a child of God, but it determines that God has begotten him and has re-quickened his spirit. I point out to you also that within this same structure, that preaching the gospel to every creature is not done in Protestant circles. We don't go out and preach to the dogs and the horses. We don't go out and preach to all the creatures. There is a denomination in Christendom, of course, who bless and baptize and anoint little donkeys and have special days for that and get holy medals out for it and get a little special collection for it, but we don't do that, nor do we preach to every creature. And if the word had been preached to every creature, then it would still continue to be all-inclusive, but it was not that way. It was go out and preach to all the kinsmen. If you were to turn to the book of Hebrews, where it again talks about the marvelous fact that God had now put upon himself a body of flesh because all the children of God were in bodies of flesh, and said he wasn't ashamed to call you his kinsmen because you were flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, out of the same household. These are his purposes. I want you to know that the great mystery of spiritual birth is the mystery of God begatting you with a pulsing light of his own being, framed up with his own mind, with the very image of your person. That's why James said, he, the Father of all lights and of all vibrations, begat us out of his own will. The most powerful force in the world is the mental wisdom of God. It is the essence of his Holy Spirit. It is the most brilliant light of all illumination. Isn't it a strange thing that Satan, who also would like to appear as an angel of light, would seek to deny the very Christ? Herein do we have also a denoting factor as it relates to the children of God. We read again these words which we find John writing, and this is what he says concerning the household of God. He says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is the great marked evidence of spirit? That it can know Christ, that it will recognize Christ, that it will confess that this is God come in the flesh. I was the other day glancing over some of the advanced writing of the Illuminati. For your time, super specialists of great human understanding, who want to express the love of God in this great universal pattern that makes everything the same. This was their story. Now they said no real, true, illuminated religionist would ever believe in God embodied, or could ever conceive that God had form and wasn't just a great powerful principle of illumination. And in the same philosophy, they said, even as Cato and others had said, no man, and man the unknown, they were trying to deify man, but they were not willing to embody God. They were not willing to give God form or personality, and they were talking about the evolution of the universe as man evolved into something higher than himself. I want you to know that this is how the Illuminati tries to destroy the kingdom, because they teach that as we become filled with love, intermingle and embrace and reabsorb one another until all the world is one happy family, one intermarried, interrelated, evolving family, we will come to the great light of the greatest age of all time. So the devil speaks as a prophet, talks about light, talks about love, and wants to destroy the holy seed. Because the plan of God is not subject to adjustment by Lucifer. It's not subject to any type of mental gymnastics by any philosopher. It's not subject to change according to whim. The plan of God was begatting his household in the heavens and sending them into the earth, embodying them in the earth to build a kingdom as tangible and as real as any kingdom on the face of the earth. But to give it the life power of his own spirit, to charge it with healing power, and to finish a task in the earth such as the world has never known. You are the children of the kingdom. There is no greater transgression than the mixture of your race. There is no greater insult to the knowledge of your destiny. There is nothing more important for you to know this afternoon is that you have been begotten of the spirit of an endless life. That the spirit that is within you cannot die and it cannot sin. And because of this, you can get a guilt complex for the transgressions you have committed. And he said, I want to take this off of you also before it destroys you, because I have assumed all that transgression to set you free so that you can stand upright before me and know that you've been justified by your Father. It is an accepted principle, was by God from the very beginning, that no individual who thinks with the mind of the Spirit will ever make a mistake. Because while thinking in this mind of the Spirit, he has perfect evaluation of all things. If you can understand the principle of perfect evaluation, then if you think with the mind of the Spirit and with the process of God, there is no transgression you would commit because you know the physical factors set in unbalance which are so great in their detriment that in the wisdom of such knowledge you wouldn't do it. That's one reason why the mind of the Spirit never errs. It is when that is limited in its perception that the soul consciousness, reasoning by the flesh, over-evaluates the temptations of Lucifer instead of the precisions of the Spirit in its knowledge that would have caused him to say no with that determination which is a part of his nature. Thus Lucifer sought the destruction of the spiritual power of your race from its very beginning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the power of the Spirit of the very life of God, which also exists in you, that you have these earthen vessels that make you free from the law of sin and death. Your celestial being possesses immortality. Your physical body also shall put on immortality and is swallowed up once again in light. I tell you that you're in one of the greatest days of all human history. I want you to know that you can be most happy in the understanding and in the perception of truth, to know that you've been born of the Father by his own will, that you have been born in the earth by the very destiny which he has decreed, that you are the children of the Spirit and you are children of the flesh. Oh, you say, but this isn't good enough. What about all these other people? Why do you think that way down deep in you, you're worried about the fact that all of the creation isn't the same as God who created it? Well, I'm going to tell you what's in the stored up picture ahead, because even Enoch unveiled it and the apocalypse of Paul is revealed. It's also hinted at as one of the mysteries that you will find in the scripture. For after the kingdom has conquered darkness, destroyed the powers of evil, and brought the earth under the regulation of divine law in the greatest creative period in human history, it still does not eliminate that there are many, many beings and many races and of different orders. It is quite obvious that the other races do not have the spiritual capacity and therefore cannot attain even the spiritual intellectual order of your race. It is also true that because of the extreme perversion and the darkness that enveloped the Negroid race, that they plunged into darkness, the changes, the mutations happened in the antiquities of yesterday. Do you know what you're going to participate in the new creation? Did you know that the ages to come, you're going to make new creatures out of every individual created being that walks upright in the image of God? Did you know at that time you're going to be a part of that co-creation and life shall go forth out of you? And as they become new creatures, with it will come the spiritual capacity of receiving directly as of inspiration the thoughts of God. And when you have consummated the new creation, the world's not going to have Negroes anymore. It's not going to have Chinamen anymore. It's not going to have people so diverse. There may be differences in courses of all the patterns of God's creation. They're not going to still, by this process, have become now your blood brothers, nor are they the offspring of the same genera, but they will, by the same Spirit, have been made new creatures, and they will move into a new area. But this is not for now, and it's not in this generation, or this dispensation, or this time. And that's why the laws of God for this time tell you to live as God hath placed you for this hour, within the law for this day. God has the power to change. He has the power to create. He has the power to make new things. But I want you to know that it is first things first that we must learn to understand. The grace of God first will put the world in order and bring all men back to a recognition that He is God, and all beings back to a proper understanding, and restore them to what they were before their fall. Then in the era after such a restoration is a new creation and new developments in the pattern of God's own grace. There are many mysteries which one would never be able to finish in a single message. For God's lifting back the veil. He's opening up the majesty of His purpose. You are children of His Spirit. You are the household of the Most High. You are the grace of God to the world. And He embodied all of this demonstration in His own embodiment that He might make you conform to His own image. Children of the Spirit, of an endless life, of mysterious birth in the heavens above, now occupying the earth for the building of His kingdom. He taught you to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We cannot finish a subject like this in a single afternoon because there's too much involved in the pattern of such mystery. But we want you to know that you who are the children of the Father, who are identified with His name, who can recognize and perceive and understand the vastness of the embodiment of the Son, stand out as distinct and apart from the forces in earth that would destroy this faith, would even drive this name from your nation and try to blot it out of your national life. We'll have much to say about that subject tonight when we talk to you about when wrath rises up in their countenance. But this afternoon, as you go forth, know this, that you are children of having been born from above and born on earth. Thus you have been born again, if you wish to thus translate it. Now we're speaking tonight, as we said, on when wrath rises up in their countenance. This is important for you to understand, that God calling your day, the development that shall help to quicken and change the whole foundation of the conditions in your society. I think you can begin to see what's transpiring. In fact, if you were to read United States News this week and see how America's reacting, or pick up your Times or your Examiner, and you read today what they're saying inside as people write to the editors, and as the columns and the commentaries move in, you see, my friends, that there's wrath already starting. Did you know that in yesterday's Herald Express, it came out to say that the leading rabbis of Los Angeles have called on every Jew in Los Angeles to stand firm behind the court to eradicate all religion from the United States, in all of our national, state, and civic activities. In fact, if you read this week's U.S. News, which came out on Wednesday for this Friday, you read the whole opinion of Justice Douglas, which shows what the Jewish design was, who said that we're going to have to eradicate, stay within the Constitution, we're going to have to eradicate the opening of our Congress with prayer, we're going to have to remove the Bible for taking of oaths, we're going to have to stop the preaching of the gospel by chaplains in prisons, in hospitals, and in any part of the armed services, and no further erection of churches or chapels on any military establishment or reservation of the United States government, no participation in anything that relates to Christ or God. This is what Mr. Kennedy said, "I agree with." Good old Herbert Hoover rose up and said, it is now incumbent and imperative that the Congress of the United States now shall amend the Constitution to read that the United States government and its state and local governments shall in all things be religious, recognizing God, praying unto God, and supporting the Holy Scriptures. There's more statesmanship left in that old man than in the entire Supreme Court. I'm going to talk to you tonight on when wrath rises up in their countenance. Next Friday night, we'll be covering again the world events as they relate to Bible prophecy in a great unprecedented measure of events. The speed with which they're happening, the strange forces re-jockeying each week into new positions, are of intense importance to the Christian studying prophecy. So do not forget that this is important for you. We're going to talk to you next Sunday afternoon on the law of the Spirit and the race question. This is our subject for next Sunday afternoon. So as we continue what we're talking about today and show you the thus saith the Lord as it relates to these matters, the law of the Spirit and the race question. Now, as we receive your offering this afternoon, we're well over the 16,000 mark, racing towards 16,500 tapes this week that'll be out, carrying this gospel of the kingdom from one end of the nation to the other. In fact, we'll go over the 650 mark this week. 16,650 will be the tapes that'll go out, be out by the end of this week. So we urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us reach people, to help us stir them and to quicken them to their responsibility of whether they should serve man or obey God. So under this instance, help with the spreading of that tape. This is your missionary activity, and this is your ability to reach people outside of your nation as well as within it in this new miracle of our day that helps keep truth alive, and a sermon that has been proclaimed and preached never dies because it just keeps on going and going. You know, there has always been a problem when truth goes out, and after it's over and the last word of it's died out, it stays alive in the hearts of people if they were awake while they listened to it, and then you wonder after that how far did it go. But if you can keep it on tape and keep it going, 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 the truth keeps on going, keeps catalyzing and reaching out into an endless expanse of people and listeners. And so with your tithes and your offerings, and we vitally need to have your assistance in this matter. We're increasing our staff because it's absolutely imperative to just handle the mail and to keep the tape program going. We have to have your assistance in helping us to do this work, and we urge you with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hands. Do not forget XCRV 1090 on the dial every day at 9:15 is the voice of truth, which is the broadcast of these congregations. And bring someone with you next Friday night, next Sunday afternoon, and Sunday evening, that we might keep this place filled during these summer months in reaching people with truth. Our gracious Heavenly Father, invoke thy blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom and the mighty work of thy church. In thy name we ask it. Amen. And do not forget the continuation of the subject this afternoon will be next Sunday afternoon in the law of the Spirit and the race question. And the final one of these series will be the prodigal son. But this is also significant in understanding the great philosophy of the father as it relates to his children. This is my son that was lost and is returned. Still a son, first begotten by the father. This will be the third in that series. So do not remember to forget this. Tell others about it. And let's keep these in continuity in our thinking. Shall we stand? Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit in benediction to rest upon these thy children, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have just listened to another sermon by the late Dr. Wesley A. Swift entitled, The Mysteries of Spiritual Birth.